This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, welcome to it. The biggest news stories, current affairs, all kinds of things that can get you talking your way through the 4th of January right here on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. Gareth will be joining us from next week. He's taking a bit of an extended period of holiday, which is really good. And if you do follow him on Instagram, it's given him a chance to get back to doing what he really loves to do best.
Which is, Ben Kopinski?
Taking selfies.
Okay.
Gareth has really applied himself over the holidays, and I tell you what, you know, he's using different filters now, he's trying different expressions, he's really expressing himself in his favorite medium, which you thought was radio. Well, I tell you what, it's not.
I actually need to see this for myself. Let's cut the guy some slack. Let's see. Okay.
I love the fact that you always cut him slack.
Well, I have to. I'm trying to be a nice person because you never try to. Okay, out of the past 12 pictures, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are selfies.
So 50% of Gareth's pictures from the last holiday have been his selfies. You know, I wasn't even, I was taking a flyer at that, but you just proved me right.
Oh my goodness, wait, if we carry on just looking at the rest, it goes on. Just, okay, from those 6, we got 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, goodness, 12, 13, so 13 from the past month.
I know whenever I bring it up, it's always, oh, piss off, Ben, you're so old and grumpy, just piss off. Yeah.
No, we aren't making, we're just... Listen, you aren't even making things up right now. The evidence speaks for itself. So
I put it to you, my lady. There it is. So there are a whole bunch of stories in the go right now. And if you are back at work already and it's your first week back at work, then our thoughts are with you because here we are also working.
Thoughts are with you? Really? Do we have to be so dramatic?
Yes. Yes, yeah.
Why?
For some people, the end of a holiday is like, it's like the end of a romance. It's like the end of a genre. It's like the end of a chapter in their lives. You know, the whole thing where people drink so heavily on holidays is because they just want to get away from their lives. And when you're told, it's like you know, when you see people gathering on the N1 to drive home, it's like the visual form of carte blanche music.
Oh, shit.
You want to get back in the car. You know, and like, at least on a holiday, if I'm obviously generalizing here, at least on a holiday, you know, you can get stuck into some beers pretty early on, but you get stuck back in a car with your family.
Yeah.
Whether it's a sibling rivalry, a lover's tiff, whatever it may be. There's a reason people do get depressed this time of year. And it's the reason why people break up in their relationships this time of year. It is an uncertain and difficult time. And I'm being compassionate towards that.
So I want to speak as someone who is just going with the vibe of pretending that my bosses aren't really hearing me right now. And I'll actually say that I prefer starting work early, and here's why.
Okay, I'm listening.
Lean in, like, take some life advice from me. You are here when other people still have taken some time off. Okay. So who looks like the most committed employee around?
Well, you do. The two of us.
But do you actually do a lot of work? No, because like
we do enough.
But you send out emails and people are still, you get out of office responses. Yeah. Like you can't set up meetings because people aren't in town. So you do nothing at all, but you get all the great acclaim.
But the important thing is we're here.
I don't care. I just want my bosses to like me and give me extra money at the end of the month. That's all that matters. You see? Here's a perk of starting work early.
It is.
Go
it really
make
is.
Friends with your boss while you're at it, and then you also get to leave work early.
See, you're so smart.
Thank you.
You really are. See? So we're going to get through the big sort of stories. I also promised that I was going to tell you about Donald Trump's latest tweets. Now, I know for a lot of people, Donald Trump is like the low-hanging fruit of sensationalist journalism or tabloiding or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there is something quite interesting about this guy. And, you know, he isn't just some guy who was going to be in office for a few months, then get impeached or get bored or whatever it is. He does generally seem like he's in it to win it, and he is going to get into it. And someone said something. Now, The problem with Donald Trump is that it feels like there's only ever two sides. There's only ever two stories about him. He is the greatest, which comes from him.
Yeah, I was about to say, which sources or, are you looking at?
Or it's the more sort of left-leaning journalism who will basically cry wolf for any occasion. And it's just difficult to kind of ever get whatever the real story is about Donald Trump. Maybe they're both right. Maybe they both get most of it right or completely wrong. Whatever it is, I just find this guy very interesting.
Okay.
Because when he was, his run-in to the presidential position, you know, there was all kinds of claims. I mean, the guy was brazen. He was ballsy. He was obnoxious. I mean, call it what you want. He was a variety of things we haven't seen from someone to take the Oval Office or become a world leader. Now, I want to touch back on a video that I think we played about 2 years ago. I'm not sure. Okay. If we did, I apologize. If we didn't, this could be a great refresher to you. But earlier in the week, see, it feels like we've been back for weeks. So I'm trying to reference when. Anyway, earlier in the week, I played a clip from the Nerd Writer. Now, this is someone who on YouTube I really admire because of the research and because of the application that goes into creating these videos. So one of the things about Donald that sets him apart from everyone else is his use of social media. Now, we all saw how Obama sort of galvanized a great voter base from the fact that he used social media and he used a way of communicating to a new audience.
Mm.
But what Donald's done is he's gone a little bit more niche. He's definitely playing to his strengths of being outlandish, quite shocking, but very much to the point in this kind of things. So I'm just going to play you this little video. I don't know if we can play all of it because it's quite long.
Okay.
But it's about how and why Donald Trump tweets. People were saying, you know, when he became POTUS, that he should stop tweeting. You know, that sort of part of his repertoire should stop because it's not presidential.
Yes.
It's not becoming of someone, you know, you could offend someone with a tweet or, you know, you could misguide things or mislead a story. Donald the whole time was, you know what, screw you. The way that the press depicts me, I need Twitter so that there's always some consistency. That people actually understand what I'm saying rather than having my words twisted and agendas being thrown out in fake news.
Well, that's not even my concern or what, I just picture him sitting at the Oval Office desk, and he's sitting there when he's being briefed about some country who's about to attack the United States, but he's just trying to make sure there's no typo in a tweet. Like, priorities, bro. But anyway, yeah.
So can't get him off Twitter. Here's some insights into the psyche around it, because it's not just sitting on the crapper throwing out words. These are planned tweets. These are planned messages, and it's all very strategic. Why?
Tell them that it's human nature, Ben. Why?
So yeah, you can see I've done everything right to play this clip for you today.
Nope. Still not there.
Seriously, when I was playing those annoying songs, did something break? Because everything's in.
Okay, there you go. Yes, and... Uh-huh.
That there are looking to do tremendous harm.
Exactly 1 year ago today, I did my best to explore the way Donald Trump answers a question. His use of language in speech, I thought, was fascinating and unique and illuminated why he's so successful at selling a feeling. Now that Trump has been president-elect for 50 days, we don't get to hear much of Trump's speech anymore. His interview appearances are dwindling and his press conferences are non-existent. But that doesn't mean he stopped using and manipulating language. These days, the language that Trump puts on the public record comes largely from writing, specifically from writing on Twitter in 140-character notes. As of December 29th, 2016, Trump has tweeted 221 times as the president-elect. It's important to note at the outset that these tweets come largely from a few sources. Thanks to info from the metadata, we know that of the 221, 153, or 69%, come from an Android phone, Trump's personal Samsung Galaxy. 59, or 27%, come from an iPhone, and 9, or 4%, come from the Twitter web client, as in someone typing the tweets into a computer. A number of commentators and data analysts have surmised that the iPhone tweets are not written by Trump himself, but by his staff. I think that's almost certainly true. If you look at those tweets exclusively, you capture all of the announcements and cabinet pics, as well as the holiday messages and the notes of condolence. Of those 59 tweets, 49 share links or are retweets. and all or almost all of them are likely written by Dan Scavino, Trump's director of social media, or Brad Parscale, a website designer turned high-level staffer who Trump entrusted with tweeting for him during the presidential debates. Of the 153 tweets that come from Trump's personal Samsung, not one shares a link, so that's a good rule of thumb if you want to determine which tweets are from him and which aren't. The huge majority of the Android tweets are Trump's personal thoughts or reactions, and you can split them up in a few ways. For example, 40 of those are positive or congratulatory in tone, 94 are negative or critical in tone, and 19 are pretty much neutral. Like in his speech, one thing Trump is really, really good at is emotionally framing his tweets, and most of them are emotionally charged, which is why 87% of them are negative or positive in tone. Trump doesn't want a sympathetic reader to spend any time at all deciphering how to feel about what he's saying. A lot of people have mocked the way he concludes tweets with one or two word exclamations like sad or too bad, but these punctuations are actually powerful framing devices that lubricate the content of his message. They also reflect a key insight that Trump has, knowingly or unknowingly, about Twitter and texting as a form of communication. While tweets are technically a kind of writing, scholars have long theorized that computer-mediated communication more closely resembles speech than writing, where funky punctuation substitutes for conversational cues. For example, every time you see someone extend a word by adding letters, saying, "I'm so sad," or "I love Breaking Bad," what they're essentially doing is trying to transmit some emotional content that would have existed in face-to-face conversation. Instant messages, text messages, and tweets attract these speech-like qualities, and Donald Trump understands this. While he doesn't extend words with extra letters, his punctuations at the end of tweets are extremely speech-like. 51 of his 153 personal tweets end with exclamations like this. In 95, there is at least one exclamation point. Where his opponents and other politicians write through Twitter, Trump speaks through it. Instead of asking us to read, he forces us to hear. But all of this begs the important question: what's the point? Trump is no longer a candidate. He doesn't have to persuade us to vote for him. I mean, you could spend a lot of time looking at a tweet like this from the president-elect of the United States, scratching your head. You could wonder about the message or the distraction it causes or the headlines it generates. But if that's the way you think, this man will always baffle you. Trump doesn't resemble other politicians on Twitter. He resembles the rest of us. He resembles that person you know on Facebook who is posting all the time about how happy they are. These people don't tweet or post because they're trying to relay relevant information. They do it to carefully craft their own identities against some imagined audience that exists only to reinforce what they need to believe. The media and the public act like Trump's tweets contain messages that we're meant to receive, when the truth is, I think that he's not thinking of us at all. When you look at it through this lens, Trump's Twitter account makes a lot more sense. It makes sense that a lot of his congratulatory tweets are self-congratulatory, and his negative tweets, which account for an astounding majority, are personal in their attacks and sense of victimization. And it makes sense that we should react to it so strongly. We're all in this age of social media intimately familiar with this kind of behavior. We do it ourselves every day. What we're not familiar with, not yet at least, is this kind of thing from the most powerful person in the world, and how it will fall out when you hold a position where even your words, desperately tweeted into the void, have global impact. But give it time, and we will be.
How about that, huh? Emotional framing.
How bizarre.
But like the way that, okay, so again, this video was posted December 31st, 2016, so a lot has changed since then.
Yeah.
But didn't all that kind of resonate with what's going on right now? The whole punctuation, the whole things are emotionally framed, and like the percentage of like negative tweets, and how he's not tweeting, he's actually speaking at you.
Do you think he does this consciously?
I really do. That's what I was kind of saying in the first hour podcast, is that none of this is just him sitting on the toilets and just throwing out things. It's all strategic. And it's all about this whole dominance and power play thing.
This is like proper science to it. He did not think of this if he is doing this consciously all by himself.
Well, look. So,
which then
I would say I'm not calling him a genius here. Okay. I'm not saying that this is like
the, like wow,
this is like the greatest use of Twitter ever since yes. that bird was born. But he is doing something with consistency, and what he is he's creating his identity. And this is again why I can't sing the praises of this Nerdwriter platform any higher on YouTube, is that this guy breaks down the stories behind the stories and the way things happen in life. Because yeah. a lot of stuff in the world is not by accident. I mean, we've realized this. Our show, for instance, this isn't by accident. We don't just turn a microphone on and go, hey, there's a reason I'm here, there's a reason you're here, there's a reason people do things the way they do around here. Mm-hmm. So let's just look at some of his recent absolute head turners to see, you know, how it applies to what we just learned in that video. Now, as you were saying, he's not writing. It's like he's speaking through Twitter. And the whole thing about the how he ends it and the emotional stance he takes yes. around that.
So sad.
Wow, I mean
well, do you know what one of his recent tweets is that he stated in all capital letters that this coming Sunday, while America's celebrating, well, Hollywood particularly is celebrating the Golden Globe Awards, he'll be dishing out and starting his own award ceremony, and he's calling it the Dishonest Media Awards.
Yeah, sorry, I did have that in my notes. For some reason, I cannot find that anymore.
Ugh, I just can't. Yeah, in all caps, it says, Most Dishonest and Corrupt Media Awards of the Year. He hardly ever does any media interviews or press conferences, unlike his predecessors anymore. But now, his favorites, of course, will go on there on full blast. He'll be talking about fake news to his heart's content. So, if you're trying to avoid that, stay away from his timeline from 5 p.m. this coming Sunday.
Okay, well, look, let's just get into some of the tweets here. Yeah. So, just this is how he was ending the year. He said, I use social media not because I like to, but because it's the only way to fight a very dishonest and unfair press, now often referred to as fake news media. Phony and non-existent sources. Now, he uses those quotation marks quite a lot because, again, yeah. as you learned in the video, he's saying stuff at us. He's trying to amplify certain parts of these things. Phony and non-existent sources are being used more often than ever. Many stories and reports are pure fiction. So he's definitely running with a certain thing. And what you were saying about a fake news awards.
Yeah.
There's elements of truth in this as well. So obviously he's doing a lot of this for his own agenda because he's framing it all from himself. We all learned that. But it's pretty funny what he was saying about I will be announcing the Most Dishonest and Corrupt Media Awards of the Year on Monday at 5 p.m. So he wrote this yesterday, 3rd of January. Subjects will cover dishonesty and bad reporting in various categories from the fake news media. Stay tuned! Exclamation mark. So there's an actual format towards this. It really is. And again, no matter what you think about the guy, love him, loathe him, hate him, whatever it is, he's getting the attention that he craves and he needs to frame his public persona and his agendas around this. So another big thing has been the whole dick swinging contest with North Korea around nuclear weapons, him calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it all stems from the fact that he's created this ability to amplify a message on Twitter. So if he wants it, and that is why he's not doing these conventional press conferences or he's doing these like conventional TV interviews. It doesn't suit his profile or his means of getting a message across. So Twitter, no one interrupts you mid-tweet.
Yeah.
So his entire thing can be packaged, it can be thrown out just as he wants it. It'll not happen. That's why he is using this so much. Sorry, I've just lost the screen again. You know, and the interesting thing about the whole iPhone versus Android thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get more generic stuff, which is like condolences, congratulations, celebration kind of stuff, that's just a staff person who will throw it out there. But you know, if it's going to come from an Android phone, this is literally his thoughts. Like, this kind of stuff really interests me. Because we live in such a different age nowadays where you can do things differently and literally, like, you can be a maverick on something tomorrow.
Yeah.
That no one is going to fight you on, because this is the exciting part of the world we live in right
on
now.
On what point or on what grounds does it interest you? Does it interest you on the fact that he's honest and he's genuine?
It's
entertainment because it's a loose cannon.
It interests me because I believe in life everyone has become predisposed to using excuses to always define where they are in life. So this guy in many ways, to the public eye, is a jackass. That's all he is.
Uh-huh.
He's an uppity orange jackass. But uh-huh. he is the president of the United States of America.
Yeah, he's the leader of the free world. So what he's done is,
he's done what he wanted to do. Again, for better, for worse, whatever you think about this guy, he's showing you all the time that you can do whatever the hell you want. Obviously within means, and sometimes this gets taken into criminal hands. But you gotta admire these processes. This is the world we live in right now. So he talked about North Korea quite heavily. There really is so many tweets around North Korea. But he goes on about the fact that the whole nuclear thing is a massive issue right now. And another thing that he's taking a lot of time to talk about right now is the U.S. just basically wasting money on these countries that aren't grateful for it. You know, last year the shitstorm he created was the whole Jerusalem embassy thing.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, like, we give Palestine all this money, they're not grateful for it. But he's always framing these stories. So the big tweet that's getting a lot of attention right now is this is what he says in his tweet. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times. Again, he's quoting these things. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I too have a nuclear button, nuclear button capitals, but it is much bigger and more powerful than his, and my button, capital B, works, exclamation mark. It's almost like every tweet he finishes in the view that he will be applauded. Like, it goes back to the whole speech making rather than tweeting.
Yeah.
Is that when politicians use a speech, they'll have these moments of infliction where they then pause for applause. Every one of Donald's tweets is basically pausing for applause.
But in his head, that's how things go. And you kind of admire the fact that someone lives in such a fantastic yes world. But at the same time, it's just like, yikes, dude, I can't. Like, we stomach way too much of you. And how much time does he have on his hands? You're the leader of the free world.
So, yeah, it's not about time on hands. In life, you prioritize the things that mean a lot to you. But another thing that I will give Donald credit for, and this is the last we'll do on Donald because we've got to get to other stories.
Mm-hmm.
But when have you ever heard politicians actively going after and looking to achieve these two words in sequence, tax and cut? In South Africa, you will never see the word cut anywhere near tax when coming out of a politician's pie hole.
Okay.
It doesn't happen.
Okay.
For the leaders in Africa, essentially, I mean, let's not just be so harsh in the ANC, but tax is like this, it's like this magical thing where, well, we'll just get asked for more tax. We'll just tax people more because that's how we can get money. Donald is actively looking to make Americans pay less tax. I know what you can say is that he's supporting the rich and it's all his this and that.
Yeah.
But the guy wants to create a better way of running a country so people pay less tax. Fight me on it. Do what you want. But I think there is some interesting things that if people who hate Donald Trump, they hear everything the same way. Basically, he is just the biggest piece of shit that could ever happen to humanity. And in some instances, sure, go ahead. I'm not going to fight you on certain things that he has not really endeared himself towards people with. But this guy is a great case study in what is going on right now and how social media is changing our worlds. But this whole thing about he's never tweeting, he's always making a speech, I find that brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And exclamation marks after the end of the tweets. You know what his latest tweet is from 3 hours ago?
Please do tell.
All capitals, make America great again, exclamation mark.
I'm done. Can we move on?
What else?
I'm just done with this guy.
That fascinates me. It really does.
Okay, so let's get kind. I feel like we have a very saucy scandal on our hands right now, because when last did you hear these names in the news? Kretcher and Lolly Jackson.
Oh yeah. Scandalous names.
This is a bit of a here, then, everywhere story, but let's go with it. So, Radovan Krejci's name has emerged in the bail application of a controversial businessman by the name of Nafiz Modak, who was apparently meant to collect a 12 million rand debt for him. So, Charles Kennard, who's a police colonel who is investigating fights in clubs, testified to this in the Cape Town Magistrates Court yesterday. Now, he said in a recording he had between Modak and another person who could not be clearly heard, Modak said he in quotes, had to do a 12 million rand debt collection for Kretcher. Now, this had to be collected from the wife of murdered Teaser's owner, Lolly Jackson. Jackson, who, as you remember, was shot dead at his Kempton Park home back in May of 2010. Now, Kinar said this debt, according to Kretcher, would then be split in half between him and Modak. Now, this recording was from September the 3rd back in 2017. Modak, as well as Colin Boyson, who is the brother of suspected Sexy Boys gang leader Jerome Boyson, Jerome Cronier, Ashley Fields, and Carl Lackey face extortion charges relating to nightclub security. So they are all applying for bail following the arrest on December the 15th.
Yeah, because all the stuff sort of kicked off last year with the underworld.
This is a ring. This is a massive ring.
Well, when you're president of your country is a crook, the gangster paradise that then lies in its wake is pretty evident.
This is a ring you do not want to find yourself part of at all. But it's so interesting how all of these names are intertwined in all of this at all. 12 million rands in total? Jeez. Well, that's the silver lining of rolling around in rings like that. Because, hey, it wouldn't be bad to be rolling around with people who casually just have 12 million rands, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Looking at some more news. Did you hear about the YouTube star who's now getting into trouble because of something he filmed in Japan?
Well, this is actually a really big story, this, because the great thing about YouTube is that it creates ability for people to have their own sort of TV channels, essentially. Yeah. So exactly what it is. And more nowadays, kids don't care about TV, and they haven't done for quite a few years now. That is why you've got these guys with subscriber bases in the millions. Mm-hmm. So this dude, Logan Paul, it's got about 15 million subscribers.
And he's 23 years old.
So 15 million subscribers. This guy's probably making around... Look, I'm pulling a figure here. Let's just say he's making about $150,000, $200,000 a month.
Yeah.
From posting on his channel through various conventional ad forms, okay? So he's rich. He's 22, he's rich. And he has all these people who adore him. Every time he puts a video out, millions of views, millions of comments.
Every time he tweets, he puts an exclamation mark and feels like people
whatever
are clapping.
Whatever it is, he's got millions of people who just support his every move and follow his every move.
Yeah.
So he went to Japan and he was... Look, I've seen bits of the story. I can't say I've watched the video. I know he took the video down. But the crux of the matter is that him and his friends were laughing about the fact that they discovered some guy hanging from a tree after he committed suicide.
Well, yeah, it's just all weird to me. Even the mere fact that you would go to this place, like, do whatever you want to do. And the, sorry if I sound insensitive, but this person has already killed themselves. Like, what do they want? But anyway, social media overall is just abuzz with outrage around this video. The YouTube star's name, as you mentioned, Ben, is Logan Paul, and he showed a suicide victim in a forest near Mount Fuji as anger spread over the now deleted video on Wednesday. Angry comments have flooded Twitter after Logan, who gained notoriety on social media and has a popular video blog, apologized for the footage, which was reportedly viewed 6 million times. The video shows Logan as a 23-year-old discovering a body in a dense woodland at the foot of Mount Fuji, which is known as the Japanese Suicide Forest, in a country that has long struggled with some of the highest suicide rates in the developed world. Now, as news of the video and apology was reported in Japan on Wednesday, social media erupted with indignation over the film, which showed a man who had hanged himself. One Twitter user said, "It is insane to show to the world the body of someone who died after being depressed. Shame on you." I'm not being insensitive, but how do we know that this person was depressed? Is it being insensitive? Let's just clarify that.
Okay, look.
Insensitive about it?
I mean, when someone's dead, it's general practice in the media. You're not showing faces. You're not basically showing people. I mean, like, how often on the news do you see a mass car pileup where 8 people died? Are they showing the bodies?
Okay, what was the tone? So you mentioned that he and his friends were laughing.
They were laughing. They were like talking about it, but like all plastic celebrities that have been created in the Kardashian era, they were all like, oh my god, ha 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 ha, that's so crazy, we just saw a dead person, ha 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 ha, all that kind of shit.
I just think this entire story is stupid.
It is. Completely.
Why are we getting
stupid.
Angry at this and rather just saying this is a 23-year-old with tons of money and lives in his own entitled world and really just created this out of clickbait? Oh, how cool
completely.
Would it be to go to
completely.
Suicide Forest?
But a point that always comes up here is that when you develop an audience, and again, this is me talking from a neutral standpoint, is that you've got... You have to have some sort of responsibility.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes,
you've
got to have
cliche.
Some sort of responsibility in what you do with these things. So if he can, he's got his 15 million person audience, and most of them are just stupid kids who hate their parents, so they spend all day on their phone watching this dipshit. But that's what people take, that's where they got a problem with this kind of stuff. This guy is entitled to create what he wants.
Yeah.
But then the other problem comes in here is that he deleted the video after getting a lot of flack. People then obviously screenshotted, saved, whatever, put it back on YouTube. This video was twice then on YouTube's trending list. So he's taken it down. Huge offense. But YouTube didn't have the filters in place or the common sense to think, okay, guys, we should probably just really just put a cover over all of this because we're getting a lot of stick. People are getting offended, blah, blah, blah. So there were many issues around this, not just the fact this guy's a dick, but there were other issues that then are being obviously taken on.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's way more than this Logan dude. You know, what he did is what he did. If you deem him stupid, you deem him stupid. But for us, like, guys, can we stop being outraged in 2018? That's my thing. I just don't want to hop on things that make no sense or just are a waste of time and rather focus on more positive, meaningful things. And can I just take a moment to do that now as well?
Yes, please do.
It's only the 4th of Jan right now. How are you doing with your new year, new me, new year's resolutions things? Because a certain DJ Black Coffee, I think, is trumping all of us when it comes to that. Because just yesterday, he announced two major things starting off 2018 on a great start. So our very own DJ Black Coffee announced that he has an official residency at a luxurious resort in Las Vegas, and he'll now be playing there ever so casually, just, you know, jetting off come April. That's where he'll be playing. And also he's on the lineup for the US Music Festival Coachella, which is a gig he's looking forward to. So, I mean, like...
So what I love about this guy's success is that he's sustaining it. I mean, people are going, oh, yeah, he's friends with P. Diddy, whatever. And yeah, that'll get you a party or two. Every single year, this guy's playing better gigs. That doesn't mean...
Look,
he's a
like,
flash
we thought
pan.
We had made it.
Yeah.
And we were happy with his success. I'll say, good 2-3 years ago. We thought, Black Coffee, you're amazing. You're a G. That's it. His interview on Apple Radio and BBC. We're like, oh, this is it. You've now made it. Parties with P. Diddy. That's even more amazing. P. Diddy now freaking gives him his jet to fly around in. Like a few months ago, he just was like Instagram from the jet saying, thanks for the jet, bro. I'm like, what? So now he has a residency. By the way, this also follows his residency in Ibiza. How presumptuous are you? How do you pronounce
Ibiza,
it?
Ibiza, just go with it.
One of those. The party island. And that's where he was DJing for a while. And now he'll be playing in Las Vegas and partying alongside Beyonce and Eminem and The Weeknd at Coachella as well. How freaking amazing is this?
Hard work, kids. This is what it is. You work hard like Black Coffee and you'll be as 10th as great as him.
Jeez.
So it's a big thing, that 1/10. I got a really great message on the WhatsApp. It was, you know, like there's so many Donald Trump memes. And one of the big things is when he started off his presidency, there was that meme of him showing the book where he made a signature with something.
Yeah.
So this meme from Raj is his button, talking about Kim Jong-un, his button, which is like a small red dot, and then my button. And it's written in like crayon. It's like his button's huge.
I just don't, yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely classic.
One can never really be, I'm not surprised anymore by anything that he does.
Yeah, that's great. Morning, Ben is here. This is from Michelle. Today is my first day off after working New Year, and yet here I am listening to you guys. Well, hi, Michelle. That's really nice of
you.
Oh,
that's nice.
I hope it's been very entertaining for you, and I hope your festive season wasn't all completely shit if you had to work the whole time. Because that's what happens, huh? That's real life. Talking about real life, Piers Morgan interviewed... Caitlyn Jenner? Now, when I finished that sentence, did you cringe?
Not even cringed. I'm exasperated for, you know, I'm really not trying to sound dramatic here, but can we leave both of those people in 2017 as well?
Let's just have a look at
both
this.
Of them. Okay. So, Piers Morgan is now, what, back in the UK? And what's the conversation around? Okay, so let's take a listen.
Okay. You just said
aux. You know what we should also do in 2018? Get a new aux cable.
Compare now no, to what it was like then, obviously.
So the interview is like any other interview, basically. Yeah. He's talking about all kinds of stuff. And then Piers brings out a little figurine of back when Caitlin was Bruce from the Olympics.
What?
Okay. And he gets to, let's just say, a strange conversation about physique.
How does your physique compare now to what it was like then? Obviously, certain areas we know.
Well, I was 6'2". I was 6'2". See, you made a comment there, and that's why you would get in trouble. Okay? You just said, oh, certain areas.
Right.
Okay? That, to a trans person, is disrespectful.
Is it really? Why?
Yeah. Because you don't make a joke about that.
Why not?
Because it's not funny. It's life.
And
it's part of my life, and it's a very serious part of my life.
Right, but can't life be funny?
And I don't take it, and I take that very seriously. Mm. And so, out of respect to myself and the community, it's not something that you joke about.
Okay.
It's something, as I said before, these are serious stuff. People die over this issue. Mm. It's not a joke.
It's genuinely educational.
Yes, and it is. That's the way. That's the way I wanted this to go.
It is a complex issue.
This guy.
Which one? So, no. Well, I don't
see,
mean.
There's only one guy. No, I was about to have some bloody respect for the
as
community.
As soon as those words came out of my mouth, I knew I had to like take them back. I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. Caitlyn Jenner is a woman. I just meant it in guys. Guys, thank you.
But the thing is, like, this interview.
Piers Morgan
is sitting there with that smug look that he was born with, and he's got the little figurine of Bruce Jenner from the Olympics, and he's saying, "So, how's the physique changed?"
What? I'm trying to understand this whole entire situation. What was his intention?
Well, this is the whole thing. He is just trying to cause shit. And
exactly.
You've got to commend Caitlin the fact that. Caitlin's taking these things a lot more seriously than the beginning, have you noticed? Talking about, like, on the behalf of the community, and, like, there was no emotion on the face there.
Well, exactly.
That was like, screw you, Piers Morgan. I'm not falling for some cheap, crappy tabloid shit that you're trying to pull
well,
here.
Because she herself has fallen in all of those traps that made those stupid mistakes, and I'm glad that now she's taking a better, bigger stance. But at the same time, the exact same piece of advice that I gave to Hillary Clinton earlier this week is the exact same advice I'd give to Caitlin. Caitlin, you don't need to be doing interviews anymore.
Exactly.
Why are you doing interviews? What's new? What's this big revelation
that'll
come out?
Chris is obviously forcing Caitlin into this stuff.
No, like they don't like each other anymore because Caitlin's a liar.
Caitlin's a liar.
Yeah.
Okay, this is again.
It's going to be a Kardashian.
We're falling
class,
into that
really.
Wormhole.
Yeah.
Look, let's just go from one idiot to another. A guy.
The world is full of them. So you take your pick. Babe.
In the end of last year, we spoke about a website where you can literally you can buy someone's virginity. So if you're a young woman, you can go onto this website. It all seems above board and all seems classy. You put a price on your virginity, and it gets bid for. So. If you say, oh, I don't know, your bio could be, hi, my name is Maria from Slovenia, I'm 19, I'm a virgin, blah, 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 pictures, interests, wants, all that kind of stuff. That thing gets opened up to a very select bunch of high-end business people who will say, okay, Maria's virginity for me is $50,000, blah, 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 it gets bid for. You understand supply and demand.
Yeah.
So a sort of,
where's this going?
Inventive escort agency in Australia has apparently put sex with Megan Fox up for offer, which seems stupid, right?
Does Megan Fox know?
No, of course not. No, I don't care where Megan Fox's acting career has gone to. I'm pretty sure she's not going to team up with some Australian escort agency and offer herself for sexual exercises.
Yes,
but. A Chinese businessman who's actually been named Yu Martin Zhu, claims to have paid $3.7 million to the agency in order for this thing to come true.
You deserve that.
Surprise, surprise. He didn't have sex with Megan Fox. He didn't even so much as meet her. But $3.7 million has changed hands.
And where is this agency now? Because they've probably deleted their website. They've slipped away from the face of the earth. And they are living large and enjoying that $3.7 million. you know what? You actually deserve it. If you have that much money and you're making such stupid financial decisions, you deserve it.
Well, the story actually gets a little bit more in depth from there. Because for that $3.7 million, this RC agency also claimed they could throw Candace Swanepoel into the mix.
No.
Now, she, of course, is the Victoria's Secret model. And it didn't happen. Yeah, the actual escrow agency has come out and said, look, they totally tricked him. And they're admitting to it, basically.
And can't they be sued by Candace and Megan for what they're doing? Using the image.
It's a defamation of character.
Yeah.
For sure. So, look, there's no confirmation of what's happening with the agency. All it is claimed that this has happened. They've accepted it, and they said, yes, of course, we tricked this man.
Social media, can we all band together and do something?
Or can we just not be stupid? I mean, what's this guy?
Can we all band together and just start tweeting Megan Fox for the sake of this guy and just say things like, "Ah, oh, Megan, come on, just take one for the team here. This dude lost millions of dollars. Just sleep with him once."
Gross. But like, how did this guy
become... Give him a sympathy shag.
How did this guy become so rich in the first place if he is so gullible and kind of money can torn away from his grasp so easily?
I don't know whether it will be even dumber or sadder to find out that, like, what if he sold his house and he put his investments on the line and, you know, sold his belongings just to have Megan for one night or one, I don't know, even like what, an hour?
Indecent Proposal with Robert Redford and Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson. There's an actual movie around that.
Are you referencing something from the 60s?
No, I think it was the 80s, 90s. But when was Demi Moore relevant? 90s?
I don't know. 80s.
I actually watched A Few Good Men for the first time last week.
I've heard of the movie.
Watch it. It's really good.
No,
it's one of those like you have to watch because obviously there's some very iconic scenes in it, but it's got an all-star cast and it's actually really good.
Yeah. So, what else did you watch? Did you watch anything
festive
season?
I watched some interesting movies before we wrap up for today.
Uh-huh.
I watched a movie called Down With Love, which I thought was fascinating.
Down With Love?
With Renee Zellweger.
Was it a rom-com?
Yes. And Ewan McGregor.
Oh, Lord.
And it was a fascinating movie.
Ben.
And that's all I'll say. It was a fascinating movie. It was very witty. It was very well written. It was very quick. And it was very entertaining.
Is this a recent movie?
Not really. It's on Netflix at the moment. I'm not sure how old it is. It's not a blockbuster new release, whatever. But it's set in the 60s. It's got to do with... Renee Zellweger's character isn't what you think she is. But she writes a book about how... women should, you know, have sex on their terms, this kind of stuff, and it causes this huge upheaval. But it's not done in a kind of cliched sense. Like, they weren't trying to become a Sex and the City kind of story. It was very entertaining, Sia.
Well, I was going to ask, is this before or after you watched Sex and the City, the movie?
We watched this over Christmas, so that was before.
Okay. And then the Sex and the City movie, because you were going to talk about that as well?
It was good. It was just like the show. Pretty much exactly the same thing. Yeah, so I watched that. Star Wars, like I said, earlier in the week, it was okay. It wasn't like incredible. It doesn't make me like really get excited about the new one.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch the new one because I'm a fan, but that's because they've done a good enough job to kind of keep me involved. If they keep making movies like the last one, I might fall off the wagon.
Well, on the other side of the scale, I didn't exactly do a lot of movie or TV watching over the festive season. I actually read a lot. And one of the things that I read was my Christmas present, which was Trevor Noah's Born a Crime.
Yeah.
So finally got into that. Even Bill Gates himself said we should all read Trevor Noah's book. And I only got around doing that in December. And I have to say, I have never burst out laughing reading a book. And with Born a Crime, I did that. So I'd absolutely recommend that. I'll start my own little book club just based on that. The book itself tells sobering stories about Trevor's life. And these are serious things. given where he grew up, the time he grew up, and particularly South Africa's history.
He's got a very unique history.
It's such a quick read. It's such a nice read as well, because the book is made up of these small little chapters of these funny short stories. And just the way he tells it, he has this obvious comedic mind. So in the short chapter, he'll structure a story together where you read over some details and you wonder why he's being so descriptive. But right at the end of the chapter, true to his comedic sense, he'll hit you with a punchline. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so hilarious. This is like the best thing ever. So I won't ruin the book for you, but I'll just like retell one of the funniest chapters that I read personally. And that was when Trevor spoke about how he finished high school and he didn't have money to go to university, so he started being a freelance DJ. Yeah. And part of that was he banded with this group of dancers from Alexandra Township.
Mm-hmm.
Who they'd go around and they'd be gigging, and he'd be behind the decks, and then the dancers would come out and he'd, you know, they'd dance and, you know, the crowd would go wild. And part of the chapter, he goes on to talk about the South African history of naming children, especially in authentic and Black African cultures, where and how we name our kids. Yeah. in our cultures, where there'd be an original or more traditional African name. So that is a Siyabonga, for example. And then a second name would be given, which is a more Western name. Mm-hmm. You know, just for the child to go on and pass in Western culture, you know, which is easier for them to go out and apply for jobs. But now, I actually did not realize this before reading the book, but because of our history and the lack of our people and how much they didn't really know much, they just took the Western names that they heard flying around and they named their kids this.
Yeah.
So that's why you ended up with a child named Napoleon, because, you know, this is what our people just read in the news and they named their kids Napoleon. And then that's how you have kids named Washington, because they heard George Washington in the news. And Trevor then speaks about how he had this one particular dancer in his crew who was named Hitler. So it was very evident that Hitler's parents did not exactly know much about the world famous historian. Yeah. Hitler and all the bad that he did in the world. They just probably know, oh, Hitler's in the news a lot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's name our kid Tabiso Hitler Zulu, for example. So Hitler was the guy in Trevor's dance crew going around. They dance, like the crowds go wild. And this is when they go around to different places like Alexandra. And they'd tour places like Soweto, like this was their jam. But there was one particular gig where Trevor and his crew were invited to play at a certain school in Johannesburg, which is called King David.
Yep.
Now, when you put two and two together, King David this is a Jewish go so well. School. Yeah. Yes. So Trevor didn't exactly know this and wasn't really well-versed in this. He accepted the gig with his crew and they went out there and it was playing his music set at first. And supposedly the entire Jewish school was like up in arms, like, yay, this is amazing. Such hot music. Then Trevor goes onto the microphone and goes, are you guys ready for more? And they're like, yes, we can't wait for this. What's happening? Bring us, you know, give us more, Trevor. And then he goes, introducing my dancer, Hitler. I swear, I was reading this alone. I just died of laughter because he details this so well in the book. He says, like, everyone just, like, stopped. One of the teachers ran up to him, like, pulled the plug of their music. And then he was just, like, so confused. Like, what's going on? Like, Hitler is a killer everywhere else. Everyone loves Hitler. Why do you guys not love Hitler? But I'm telling you, like, I'm not doing it any justice at all. The way in which he details it is... Wow. So absolutely hilarious. So Trevor Noah, Born a Crime, I think if you're South African, you'd relate and resonate with it on so many levels. So go ahead and read that.
But it is like the bigger the star gets, the more interesting their backstories become.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, the fact that he was doing that.
I do think definitely some of the stories were slightly embellished.
Oh, but of course.
But yeah, as a true comedian, that's what he does, but it's so hilarious.
Exactly. Well, that will wrap up today, Thursday. Thanks for joining us. And if you're just listening live, you can catch the other podcast, cliffcentral.com. But Liz is in the studio. She's working hard. That makes three of us. I'm sure there's other people who come out. And if you are into sports, then today on The Bounce Show, which is with me, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock South African time. Otherwise, catch the podcast on cliffcentral.com along with all the other shows. And then as of next week, Gareth will be back. So will Mabali. And they'll be back to normal. I will leave you with this. On your phone, go under settings.
Uh-huh.
Go under privacy. Go under location services and see the, all the different apps that are spying on you right now.
Hold up.
Yes, your phone is spying on you.
Whoa.
Catch you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.